What's up, sunshine? I'm Coy Wire here with your 10 minutes of news for Wednesday, April 23rd. Listen up for the vocab word one of you submitted for today's hashtag Your Word Wednesday. It helped us write today's show. Let's cook. We begin today with more news out of Italy, where the Vatican is still in a period of mourning, but also planning after the death of Pope Francis on Monday. As preparations for his funeral this Saturday are underway, Vatican officials are also beginning the fascinating and historical process of picking a new leader of the Catholic Church. The Vatican is now in what is called the papal interregnum, the period between the death of one pope and the election of the next. Cardinals, which are senior officials within the church, most of whom were appointed by Pope Francis, will now decide when they can begin electing a new pope. This process is known as the conclave. Our Vatican correspondent, Christopher Lamb, takes us through every ceremonious step of electing a new pope.
When it comes to choosing a new pope, the process is a mix of ancient tradition, religious ritual, and politics. Only a small select group has a say in the decision, with votes taking place behind closed doors in the Sistine Chapel. Let's take a look at how it works. Technically, any Roman Catholic male can be elected the leader of millions of Catholics around the world. But the next pope will come from among the cardinals. Since the 14th century, every pope has previously been a cardinal. The task of electing a pope falls to the College of Cardinals. They are chosen by the popes and wear distinctive red robes meant to symbolize a willingness to shed their blood for the Christian faith. They must be younger than 80 years old to participate in the vote. The election, known as a conclave, usually happens 15 to 20 days after the papal office becomes vacant, and all eligible candidates must vote in person. Before they start voting, all the cardinals, including those over 80, gather for crucial meetings in Rome. It is here that the big questions facing the church are discussed and potential candidates start to emerge. The conclave begins with a special morning mass in St. Peter's Basilica. After this, the strictly guarded vote takes place in the Sistine Chapel. Once the conclave starts, cardinals aren't allowed to speak to anyone outside of the process, read media reports, receive messages, or discuss the details of the elections afterwards. If they break the conclave secrecy rules, they risk excommunication. Once the voting starts, they write a candidate's name on a ballot, and in order of seniority, they drop them into a chalice. Cardinals aren't allowed to vote for themselves. The results are recorded by three designated cardinals. To be elected pope, a candidate needs to gain two-thirds of the vote. If that doesn't happen, they vote again and again. In total, four rounds of voting can be held a day until they reach that threshold. If no man is elected after 4 days, the conclave breaks for prayer and discussion before trying again. Voting process takes place behind the scenes. So how does the public find out when a new pope has been chosen? The ballots are burned once in the morning and once in the evening. If there's no winner, a chemical is added to turn the smoke black, so the people waiting in St. Peter's Square know that a new pope has not yet been chosen. But when a pope has been elected, a different chemical is added to ensure smoke comes out white, signalling a new pontiff. And finally, the man chosen must accept the decision of the cardinals. A senior cardinal tells the world, "We have a pope," and introduces the new pontiff to the crowd gathered in St. Peter's Square. The new pope goes out onto the balcony to make his first remarks and give his blessing.
Pop quiz hot shot. Which of the seven species of sea turtle is not considered threatened or endangered? Hawksbill, loggerhead, leatherback, or flatback? If you said flatback ding ding, you're correct. The sea turtle, endemic to the Australian continental shelf. Six out of the seven turtle species are considered threatened with extinction, and there isn't enough data available on the flatback to know whether they too are at risk. I'm going to anthropomorphize a sea turtle right now. Those poor things must feel so hurt emotionally and physically, because did you know that most of the threats they face come from careless fishermen? The sea turtles get caught in their gear. The Maui Ocean Center Marine Institute, a nonprofit organization dedicated to conservation efforts in Hawaii, has rescued more than 1,400 sea turtles. 85% of those turtles' injuries came from discarded fishermen's supplies. On this Call to Earth, we get a look at how the rescue and rehabilitation team takes injured sea turtles from treatment to rehabilitation and release.
It's mid-morning in Maui, Hawaii, and a small team from the Maui Ocean Center Marine Institute, MOCMI, is responding to a hotline call.
We got a call this morning around 9:30 about a turtle with some fishing line wrapped around the neck.
Let's get the line out.
We removed the fishing line and found that there was no broken skin or anything like that, so the turtle was cleared to be released.
Looks good. Nothing in there.
Hey, you're good, buddy.
Good job, bud.
After taking some measurements,
49.7,
and placing tags, this green sea turtle is ready to go. Fortunately, its injury could be treated on site, but not all of their patients are so lucky. Dustin Paradis is the executive director at MOCMI, overseeing the rescue and rehab of sea turtles in critical condition.
The majority of the cases that we see are due to fishing line entanglement. The flipper is severely compromised, so we use a multimodal approach to try to preserve that flipper. So we will amputate flippers in a worst case scenario.
So this turtle had entanglement on both front flippers around the neck as well, and then the hind flippers were entangled. So this turtle was a mess when we got it. So we treat these turtles every 72 hours when they first come in, so they're on antibiotics. So we draw blood weekly to monitor the healing process. So we have another green sea turtle patient here. It was found on the beach with a broken humerus bone.
Kirby was flown in from Hawaii Island 2 weeks ago and required an amputation due to the severity of its condition.
So there's no bone remaining in here in this flipper area. It's just soft tissue. And these patients heal up very quickly, so they take about 2 weeks after surgery. So we're just going to do some quick laser therapy, topical therapy, and do a blood draw, and we'll be on our way with this patient.
Our average stay for our rehab patients is about 45 days, which is a pretty quick turnaround.
Since 2020, Dustin says they've rescued over 1,400 turtles, and more than 85% of the injuries documented were caused by fishing gear. Green sea turtles are considered a keystone species, critical in maintaining a healthy balance in marine ecosystems. Listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act in 1978, they are showing signs of recovery in Hawaii, but they are still at risk.
What I really enjoy is getting the community involved because it amplifies our effect and it also gives the community a little bit more ownership to take a hands-on approach and empower them to make a change.
A few weeks on, and Kirby is ready to return home.
We're going to take a little bit of our last-minute data, and then we're also going to take it down to the beach and set it in the water and set it free.
Before we get them back out in the wild, I want to make sure they're going to be comfortable and that they'll be able to forage and get back to normal activities. Everything looked great. The remaining three limbs look very healthy. Path to swim test. He looks great.
The best part of this entire rehabilitation process is being able to see the turtle go back into the water.
All right, you guys ready? They're going to get about just a comfortable depth, knee deep, and then they'll deposit the turtle in and let it swim free.
It's even better when you see them out there months, years after we've actually rehabilitated them, to know that they're out there, to know that we made a difference for that turtle and it's out there surviving.
Today's Strawberry getting a 10 out of 10, a glorious glow up for a very big landmark. Folks in Strawberry Point, Iowa faced a jarring situation. Their iconic 15-foot tall Strawberry landmark of more than 60 years was looking a little ripe for the picking, so they decided to preserve it. They got themselves out of the jam with some TLC and a lot of paint. And after about a month-long glam sesh, their beloved berry is back in its patch in the heart of downtown just in the time for summer. Very nice. All right, superstars, did you spot your vocab word in the show? Today's Your Word Wednesday winner is Mrs. Stockman and all our friends at Endeavor in Sioux Falls, South Dakota for submitting anthropomorphize, a verb meaning to attribute human form or personality to things not human. You all keep the formidable words coming each week and we love you for it. Thanks to everyone who've submitted laudable words for Your Word Wednesday. Today's shout out is going to Morristown, New Jersey, for a special double feature to shout out the Falcons at Freeling Heisen Middle School and the pride of the Peck School, Rise Up. Thanks to all of you for watching, commenting, and subscribing, making us part of your day. Let's do it again tomorrow, shall we? I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.